The scripture this morning is going to come out of 1 Samuel chapter 10. I think I'm going to start around verse 4. One of the stories in the Bible that I absolutely love. But before that, I'd like to give God just a quick praise report. This morning around 4:30, my dad had to have his heart, I guess I call it shocked back into rhythm. There might be, I'm sure there's a better term for it. But God and his faithfulness, man, they had to shock him. It's back in rhythm and he's doing really, really well. Even what time is it, about 8:37, I think probably on his way home at this point, my brother, if not already home. So I want to make sure that I'm extremely careful to give God all the glory for that. And I thank God for that. I tell people that my brother's the one that does the early morning things, because I'm more of a night owl myself. But this morning around 4:27, God woke me up and I got to pray for my dad and had a really, really powerful experience with the Lord. And I definitely, definitely honor God for that. So the scripture comes out of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 4. This is a story where Saul's dad, Kish and them, they've all lost the donkeys. They send Saul and his servant to go find the donkeys. The children of Israel have cried out to God and said, God, give us a king like all the other people around us. God said, no, 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 you don't want that. Samuel was like, listen, y'all don't want that. But God said, listen, Samuel, give them what they want. That's not the way that I intended it. It's not the way that I set it up. I want to be their king. But Samuel, they keep calling out to me. They keep saying this is what they want. So how many of us know sometimes when God gives us what we want, that's not really what we want? I know I can hear a big amen on that because I've asked God for things and told God this is the best way to do it. And God did it that way. And instantaneously, almost, I'm like, man, that wasn't the right choice. Why didn't I just sit back and let God be God? And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is that if we're able to get to a place with God, and I don't want to mistake this for laziness, but I do want to say that if we're able to get our heart in a place with God where we can trust God, where we can obey God, and then sit back and let God be God. And that's a big statement. It doesn't mean, once again, to sit at the house and do absolutely nothing. Don't pray, don't fast, don't do the things that we're supposed to do. But it does mean to completely take your hands off the steering wheel, to completely take your hands off of I know best, to completely change your mindset and say, God, it may not look the way that I think that it should look. This path may be a little different than the path I think we should take, God. But you are God. You're a good, good father, and you're going to take care of us, and you're going to take care of me, and I trust you. If we can get to that place in our lives, then things become a lot less frustrating. Things become a lot more peaceful. Things become a lot less about you and me and a lot more about God, and God's way is always the best way. And I know that's cliche, and I know that's easy for me to say, but this morning, when I was talking to God about my dad, the greatest prayer that I could possibly pray back to the Father was, God, your way is better than my way. Because I had absolutely no control of it. I wasn't there. I don't know how to do what needed to be done. But when I could pray that prayer in faith and I could mean that prayer, and then I could watch God perform a miracle and watch God give people that are smarter than me in that area and have different abilities than I do in that area, I could watch God do what God wanted to do, and the end result was perfect. The end result was exactly what I was wanting. And that taught me that even at 4:26 this morning, I could believe God. It taught me that if I could let go, then watch God do what God wants to do. And I know a lot of us this morning, this afternoon, whenever you hear this message, I know a lot of us are trying to do that, and a lot of times I fail when I do that. But I want to encourage you, just because you put your hands back on the wheel doesn't mean you can't take them off again. It doesn't mean that just because you messed up today doesn't mean you're going to mess up tomorrow. Give God another chance, because I believe in this scripture that we're about to see that God was going to do it a certain way, and God did it exactly like he wanted to, but it took the people of God obeying for God's plan to come about. So in 1 Samuel chapter 10, just for the sake of time, we'll pick up right here in verse 4. And this is when Samuel's telling Saul what's going to happen. "And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will receive from their hands. And after that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." And be turned into another man. Verse 7, "And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do." Verse 9, "So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." What I want to focus on this morning is the Bible said in verse 6, that when you meet these people and they come down with these instruments and they're prophesying, that you shall be turned into another man. But right here in verse 9, the Bible says that when Saul turned his back from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And I was like, wait a minute, Lord. And I love these situations in the Bible when I feel like there's a contradiction. And obviously the Bible never contradicts itself. But when I see these things that to me seem, there's a seeming contradiction, I know there's just something I don't understand. I know there's a revelation that I have to talk to God about, because I'm like, God, this seems a little weird to me. It seems like that you got it in the wrong order. It seems to me like Samuel said one thing and you did another thing. So just for clarity, I'll read it one more time. In the latter part of verse 6, it says, "And you, when these people come to you, you will prophesy and be turned into another man." But in verse 9, it says, "So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." Brothers and sisters, this morning, if we can allow God to give us a new heart, if we can allow God to give us something that we've never had before and just obey him, then he is faithful to perform exactly what he told you and I that he would do. You see, I believe that God had to give Saul a new heart, so that when the prophets came down prophesying and the power of the Lord came down with them and they were prophesying and worshiping the Lord, that the power of God is what sent a jolt into that heart of Saul that day. I believe that God had to give him a new heart because he needed to be ready to lead the people of God. He needed to be in a position that he was able to lead and command the people of God, because there was a calling on Saul's life. Brothers and sisters, there is a calling on your life. There's a calling on my life. And there's no way that we can do the things that God wants us to do until we allow God to give us a new heart. And what does that mean, to allow God to give us a new heart? It means that we have to be willing to let God be God. God had told Saul in this situation that these prophets were going to come down. You were going to fight the battles of the Lord. You were going to do X, Y, and Z. and there was a great calling upon Saul's life, but not one of those things Saul was responsible for. Not one of those things Saul had to make sure happened. And I promise you, one of the greatest acts of faith that you or me can show God is we can obey God, we can believe God, and we can let God be God. We can completely step back from the situation and say, God, I'm tired of trying to make it happen. I'm tired of trying to make sure my husband or my wife does X, Y, and Z. I'm tired of my kids doing X, Y, and Z. I'm tired of trying to make my finances work. God, I'm going to do the things that you've told me to do in your scripture. I'm going to step back and I'm going to allow you to be God. I'm going to allow you to be a good, good father, because that is exactly who he is this morning. Brothers and sisters, we are not responsible to make things happen in our lives. We're responsible to believe God, to pray, to be obedient. And then we must allow God to take control of the situation. I was reminded this morning, and when I was studying and talking to God, that there's times in my life years ago that people that I'd never met in my whole life would tell me things about my life. They would tell me things that God was going to do in my life, and they were so great and they were so powerful that it scared me. It made me nervous, because I'm like, Lord, how am I going to make this happen? Because I felt like I was responsible to make the man or woman of God's word that God had gave them to speak over my life, I felt like I was responsible to make it happen. And I know that may be silly to a lot of people, but when a man looked at me and he said in 5 or 7 years, God will make you a millionaire, I felt like it was my responsibility to make that happen. I felt a lot of pressure, because I was like, listen, if this doesn't happen the way that this man of God said it's going to happen, then he's not a man of God, then he lied. And I felt a lot of pressure in my life. And when my apostle looked at my wife and said, listen, you'll give birth to a child, and not only one child, but two children, I felt pressure in my life, because I thought I had to make that happen. And what a joy it would have been in my life if I could have sat back and just enjoyed the promises of God. If I could have sat back and said, okay, God, if you want us to have a kid, then allow us to have a kid. Could you imagine the pressure that would have been taken off my life? Could you imagine that I wouldn't have had to learn a lot of the hard lessons? And I believe that's what God has for a lot of us this morning. And God is screaming from the mountaintop, is you are not responsible to make it happen. It's too big for you, brother. It's too big for you, sister. It's too big for your children. It's too big for all of us. Because if it's not too big for us, then we have the ability to do it. And that doesn't mean God is the only one can do it. If your dream that you know God spoke to you is not big enough, is not so powerful and so out of your reach, then what in the world do you and me need God for? Why can we not just sit back and let God do all the things that he promised us? Yesterday, or a couple days ago, my kids and one of our family friends, Jax, we went to a jump park. And we went to the jump park, and that 7-year-old kid and that 9-year-old kid, and I think Jax is 11 or 12 now, that kid, when we got to the jump park, not one of them, they didn't even consider, nothing to do with how much does it cost to go jump. How much does it cost to ride the go-karts? How much does it cost to do the zip line? How much does it cost to get water or Gatorade or whatever it was? Because they knew they were with somebody that would take care of all of it. They knew they were with people that would take care of every need that they had that day. And they knew that no matter the cost, no matter how hard it was, no matter the situation, they knew that they would be provided for. And that is exactly what makes me happy as a father. So can you imagine the God of glory, the God of all creation, sitting back looking at you and me this morning and saying, listen, why won't you let me provide? Why won't you let me make it happen? Why won't you let me make that miracle come about? Bring those kids back into the house of God. Bring that wife or that husband. Let me bless that business. Let me bless your finances. I am God. I hear him this morning. I'm telling you, he's been telling me this since yesterday. We have to be like Saul in the scripture and just turn back from some things. We have to be willing to turn around and allow God to put a new heart on the inside of us and allow God to send the power of the Holy Spirit to make that heart alive again. Brothers and sisters, when Saul turned back from Samuel, God gave him a new heart, but I don't believe that heart was alive. I don't believe that heart was ready for the things of God until he met the people coming down prophesying. The Bible says they had a flute, some musical instruments. And when they met him and they were prophesying, that represents the power of the living God. And the Bible says that when Saul ran into the prophets prophesying, that he began to prophesy. And then the Bible says that he was changed into a different person. The only way Saul was able to change into a different person is because God gave him a new heart. It doesn't mean that people that are used by God have a new heart, because the Bible says in the book of Romans that the callings of God are without, or the giftings of God are without repentance. Meaning, listen, God can use whoever God wants to use. But if you want to be a child of God, you've got to have a new heart met with the power of God. And when those two things collide, then life has to happen. God is faithful to perform everything that he has promised you and me as long as we stop directing the path. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, you direct my path. The scripture is filled of men and women that when they let go of their ideas, when they let go of their ways, when they let go of the way they think it should be, God is faithful to fulfill his promises. In closing this morning, I can tell you, when people, men and women, looked at me years ago, and they would tell me about my wife, or they would tell me about my kids, or they would tell me about financial situations, or they would tell me what God was going to do. It encouraged me, yes, but it scared me. And it wasn't until many years ago, that I walked into a church. Me and my Apostle Mays. We walked into a church, and we were probably 20, 30 minutes late. I think she had preached somewhere else, or there's a possibility we were just late. I don't know which one, but either way. And we walked into the church and we sat in the back, and as we began to sit down, a man of God was preaching, and it was good, the minute or two I had heard. And before I could take my seat, he stopped his complete sermon. And I'll never forget this the rest of my life. He stopped in the middle of him preaching, and he looked at me and he pointed me out. And he began to talk to me. And he looked at me, he said, listen, God is about to enlarge your territory. And he began to tell me some things that were going to happen over my life. And he began to tell me some things. And he looked at me and he said, listen, God is faithful. God will do it. And he told me that because I'm sure he saw, maybe fear or maybe pressure as I was listening to these great things. But he was very clear. And he said, listen, God will do these things, but you got to let God do them. And at that moment, I decided that, God, I can't do this. I can't do some of the things that you've said. I can't do some of these promises. And as soon as I got into that mindset, as soon as I said, God, give me a heart that can receive these things and don't feel the pressure to make things happen. Give me a heart that can just believe you, that can believe you love me enough despite my sin, despite my many mess ups, despite the things that I know I'm going to let people down. Give me a heart that can do these things. As soon as I prayed that prayer, all pressure left my life. I didn't feel like I had to make it happen anymore. I didn't feel like I was responsible for these great, powerful acts of God. And I know it might be crazy because I didn't have the ability to do any of these things anyways, but I bet you anything, a lot of us feel pressure to do some of the things in our life that only God can do. I believe a lot of us feel in our finances that we have to make things match up or we have to increase things. Well, brother or sister, this morning, this afternoon, you don't have that kind of power. I don't have that kind of power. It is God Himself that brings the increase. It is God Himself that will bless and heal and perform miracles in our life. And He's calling us to a place of peace and a place of rest, not laziness, but a place of rest and peace this morning. And I honor Him for that because I thank God for a new heart, but I also thank God for power that can come into that heart and make it alive this morning. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to a place where we can rest. It's a place where we can believe God is better than our earthly fathers. And even if you have a bad earthly father, then God is saying, I'm better than your mom or your cousin or your stepdad or whoever it may be. He's trying to show us that if we can accomplish things that we set out, if we can provide for our children, if our friends, our family, if we can help like that, how much more can the Creator of the universe perform those things? Let's pray. Father God, I honor You. God, I want to thank You again for making my dad's heart go back in rhythm. And God, that is it's a miracle. And God, it's powerful. And I thank You, and I thank You so much. But God, more than that, I thank You for saving him. I thank You for the new heart You gave him. And I thank You, Lord God, that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to not worry about certain things and to have peace and to have rest. I thank You that we can have it today. I thank You that Your plans are to bless us and take us to deeper depths and higher heights. Lord, we yield to You this morning. And God, for my brothers and sisters that feel like they got to make it happen, God, I pray an anointing to come over their lives that they can just let go and let You do what You want to do. This morning, Lord, I pray and I speak against every spirit that tries to control us, every spirit that makes us feel pressured or like we're not enough or we'll never make it happen. And God, I remove those spirits in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask You that this morning You will bless my brothers and sisters. You will strengthen them and encourage them and save them. And God, more than anything, give us all a new heart. A new heart that we can believe that when You tell us something, it'll come to pass. A new heart that can believe that when You say it, that settles it. A new heart that above all else that can believe we are loved. God, if we feel loved, then we know that we're forgiven. If we feel loved, then we know that we're redeemed. And God, if we feel loved, then we know there's hope for an expected end. So this morning, God, we yield to You and we say thank You for the love. Thank You for the love that You showed us in Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the only perfect gift. And we thank You this morning and we pray these things by faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.